Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He's unpredictable. He's relentless. He's fearless. He's smart. He's a jerk. Oh, man, what a jerk. How would you describe Kirk Minahan?
He's talented.
He's blunt.
He's complicated.
He's the fakest tough guy I know.
He's honest.
A self-proclaimed weenie.
He's angry.
He's actually a good guy.
He's a psycho big-mouth prick.
I wish we had more Kirk Minahans.
How would you describe Kirk Minahan?
Combustible.
Unpredictable.
Venomous.
Testy.
Obnoxious.
Selfish.
Polarizing.
Pompous.
Enough about me. Let's get to the show.
It's Kirk Minahan's Enough About Me.
My favorite radio show of all time is Mike and the Mad Dog. And my favorite radio personality is Chris Mad Dog Russo. I listen to him every day with Mike. I listen to him on the weekends when he was by himself. And now I listen to him on Sirius XM. He is by far my favorite radio personality and my favorite guest on the Dennis O'Callaghan Show. And I was thrilled to have him join me. And the first thing I asked him is a question everyone's been asking here the last couple of weeks. All right, I'm just going to start out by asking it. Will Chris Russo and Mike Francesa do a radio show together every day again in the future?
Kirk, I wouldn't expect it for the time being. Mike's under contract. Who's going to pay all that money to do it? Mike's got two more years to go. I don't know what Mike's plan is when he. I don't know if Mike is going to want to retire. I don't know what his deal is going to be at that point. That's a year and a half, still a long way off.
You don't believe he's done, though, right? I mean,
I think Mike will dabble in something. I think he will dabble in something, maybe a podcast. Maybe something once a week. I don't know if Mike will work every day, especially not in the summertime. I mean, Mike does work now in the summertime. He is definitely not going to work June 15th through Labor Day. Mike is not going to work beginning next from 2018 on. Mike will not work middle of June through Labor Day. You just know Mike, and I'd be surprised. But I do think he'd do something. Yes. Would I rule out anything? I would not rule it out, but I wouldn't rule it in the foreseeable future. Let's get through this reunion show in good shape. Sort of reminisce, talk some sports, do a good show for the audience at Radio City, and then we'll go from there.
It seems like, I've been doing the show with John and Jerry for a couple of years, so we've got to know each other a little bit. You know by now what a huge fan I am of you on Sirius.
No, I know. You're a big fan.
On Sirius, and huge Mike and the Mad Dog fan. Grew up listening to Mike and the Mad Dog. When I was a Ford, I listened to Mike and the Mad Dog. It does seem like in the evolution, as with all shows, as I've now learned very well, there are ups and there are downs, there are peaks and there are valleys. And right now in the Russo-Francesa relationships, it seems like we are in a peak, no?
Oh, no question about it.
What changed?
Well, what changed is, I think the fact that we've been apart for 7 or 8 years. So when you're apart after a long marriage, you forget about the reasons of why you broke up and you spend more time thinking about the reasons why you got together. I think that's part of it. I think the ticket success of the Radio City thing, I think the fact that they sold out so quickly, I think that's got something to do with it. The fact that, we realize, wow, the fans do love us. I think that's got something to do with it. I think the fact that the Francesa come a week ago down there at Irving Plaza.
Right.
And, all the fans who were there that day, I think that's got something to do with it. Old age probably has a little something to do with it. I think the fact that we both have had modest success alone has probably had something to do with it. I think there's a lot of factors. I think the big one probably is the idea that we must have did something right after all these years where, the fans still want to hear what we have to say together. So I think that's made us think, let's get along and do a good job here because the fans crave it. So I think that's the big thing more than anything else.
But I understand that. But since you went to Sirius and since Mike went solo, there have been, in that period, some down points. I have to think the A-Rod thing was not
I didn't talk to Mike about the A-Rod thing.
So let me ask you this. What would be the longest you guys went without talking?
I would say at least a year. You figure we talked to each other at Super Bowls.
Right.
My father passed away in 2013.
He was very emotional about that.
Yeah, he was. So we talked about that. I didn't hear Mike on the air. Mike was emotional about that.
Very.
On the air.
Oh, he started. Doug, he started. You never heard it. He started. Somebody tweeted at me. He started a show. 1 o'clock, 1:05. He did 20 minutes on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Tony was one of the great characters in the history of the show.
People loved him.
Oh, he was the greatest.
And Mike and my father always had a good chemistry because of the Yankees. And I had Mike do a reading at my father's memorial service in New Canaan, Connecticut on that Friday of Memorial Day weekend. So, I mean, I think that we had a little connection. We had a big connection there. But it's, you know, I was on with Mike's 25th anniversary of FAN. So there are times that you were on. The A-Rod thing caused, you know, I didn't talk to him about it, but I took the opposite side. You know, he's very anti-Selig / Manfred. You know, I'm not. So I think that probably, we haven't talked about it, but I you'd probably not like to get involved in that because that will cause a little friction. So those two, the baseball, Mike seems to be a little distant with the, and I have not discussed it with him. I swear I haven't. But Mike seems to be a little distant that with the powers that be with baseball. And I am closer to baseball, partly because of his MLB show, partly because, you know, I always kind of liked Manfred and Selig, and partly because I never liked A-Rod. So you throw in all that, I think there's a little disconnect there. Probably I would be a little bit more anti-Nick if I was on right now than Mike, willing to give Phil Jackson and company maybe a touch of a pass.
Do you listen a lot? Do you listen to him a lot?
I do when I'm not on. I don't listen too much when I'm definitely off. Or I'm gonna have a shorter show, or I have a Timmy basketball game, and I'm driving home all the time. I will listen. But generally speaking, I'm on at the same time Mike's on, and I commute by a train, so I don't listen to anything, even us. I don't listen to via the train. But people tell me what's going on. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, people are always going to ask me what I think, how I react when something's going on. So when Mike says something I might disagree with, people say, "Doggy, what do you think?" They tweet me. People play it for me. So there's no way you can stay. You always are connected. And I'm always Mike and I are always going to be connected for the rest of our lives from a media standpoint. There's no way around it.
One thing I've learned is when you get into fights off the air and you're not talking off the air, it bleeds onto the air. And how I find it bleeds onto the air is almost an opposite thing. It's you pretend like you like each other even more than you usually do, and then you wind up having a big fight over something that's so small and so irrelevant. It just blows up. It's happened with me and John a couple of times. Happened with me and Jerry a couple of times. I've seen it with John and Jerry a couple of times, with the producers a couple of times. And with you guys, I think it spilled out over some Yankee Stadium fight. And it was like 2000, right toward the end.
Well, that was the bathroom thing. We yelled about the Yankee Stadium bathroom. That wasn't – we were not getting along then. You're right. So that was – you know, that was it was actually funny, but we were not getting along. We had a lot worse fights.
What was the longest you guys went without talking off the air? You know what I mean?
No, I mean, that fight we had in 2006, I believe it was.
Would you go weeks?
Oh, yeah, easy.
Oh, my God. I mean, we'll go a couple of days, and then we'll have a blow.
No, a couple of months.
How do you do that?
You learn how to do it. That week.
What happened then?
That's when we didn't go to Indianapolis for game 6 of the Knicks Pacers.
Right.
And I wanted to go, Mike did not. And I was annoyed by it, and I probably I showed that annoyance on the air. That was bad. That was probably in mid-May. I did not talk to Mike on or off the air until his wedding, and he had no choice but to invite me. He had to invite me.
Well, when was that? When was the wedding?
Late July.
So you didn't talk for almost 3 months.
Yep.
So you go to break. So you know, you give the number, you know, and we'll get your calls. FAN. Boom. Red light goes off, and you would sit there for 6-7 minutes, no
Not
talk.
Talk.
Oh, that
Not
is talk. Jesus. That is rough. Would you leave the studio?
I forget how we did it.
Was the producer the go-between?
We put the producer in a tough spot there because at that time the producer wasn't Bob Gelb, who produced our first 9-10 years.
Right.
After Bob left, it was a different cast.
It was Carlin, right?
Yeah, Carlin and Mark Melusis, and younger
Chris. 3 months, Jesus.
Yeah, well, that one was a bad one.
That's the worst. That the worst one?
Probably the lengthiest. I mean, remember, that was late spring anyway, so we weren't going to see each other for a little while. So that carried, so that had a little something to do with it. We had four or five of those like that over a period of time. But, we haven't had any fights in the last 8 years, and we have gotten along superbly during this thing here. You'd have to. I mean, you can't be an idiot.
Right.
I mean, you're raising over $1 million. You got to make sure that everybody loves each other. And Mike and I, people love to hear about our arguments.
Love it.
We got along a lot better than people think.
Yeah, but people But people don't want to hear that.
That's exactly. You know, it actually increases our popularity that we fought so much.
No question. That's out of the Stern playbook too. I mean, that people like that drama. They just can't help themselves.
They can't get enough of it.
I must have read that New York story 3 times.
In the New Yorker?
Yes, the New Yorker. Guy did
a good job with that.
Voluma. Is that a true story? So. A true story Chris Carlin tells, he walks into a hotel room in Indianapolis. You guys are sitting there. You're watching the end of The Horse Whisperer.
Yeah.
And you say to him, he had to leave. He had to leave, and he says, dog, it was the right move. Is that a true story?
I think that was.
That's interesting.
And, Mike loved The Horse Whisperer because it's horses. Mike loves the horses.
Right.
So, and I love the movie Redford. Johansson. I mean, the movie was a great movie.
Oh, well.
I liked it. And Mike loves it because he loves trainers. He loves the track.
But
there was a good connection there.
Do you think you could, let's just play the game. Put finances and all this stuff aside. If Mike came up to you and said, listen, dog.
Yeah, I could definitely do it.
2018, April 1st, I want to start doing the show with you 5 days a week. We'll each be off, 8 weeks a year or whatever. You feel like you could slide back in and there'd be no – all that drama would be gone and everything would be all right?
I don't know about that. There would be the occasional drama. I'm a little more – I think the maturation, the fact that we've been away now for 8 years, I'm in my 50s, Mike's 60-something. I think I'm a little more mature than I probably was 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would understand how to handle it better, and Mike, same thing on his end. Understand each his personality.
Right.
So I think from that standpoint, it would be something that we could deal with. Now remember, you got to remember one thing, Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Mike loves talking about the New York teams. I am not forget football. Football's on its own because you can do all the teams.
You don't want to talk about the Mets every day.
I'm not into the Yankee. I'm not into the Yankee lineup.
Right.
I'm not into talking to. I'm not into the Yankee 25th man in their roster.
Right.
I'm not into breaking down Carmelo Anthony and his, whatever he says. We got to magnify it and talk about it for 40 hours.
But I got to think, though.
The content sometimes bores me.
But you miss a big Monday after a Giants collapse.
Absolutely right. There are days that I definitely miss the camaraderie that the two of us had in a situation where we can break down a team, as you said, falling apart, big loss, firing a coach, the Buffalo game in Week 17, Jets,
right?
That kind of thing, I definitely miss because you don't get that at Sirius because there's not enough people who are going to call me about the Jets Bills. They're going to call Mike. They're going to call FAN. They're going to call Benigno. They're going to call that crew. They're not going to call Sirius. They're not going to call Sirius XM. So you miss that hometown flavor,
right?
That a local, like for instance, if you went to Sirius, Kirk, and if you like the Patriots or not, the champion, and forget championship game. Championship game's different
because
everybody's
right.
Focused
everyone's,
on that.
Everyone's doing it.
But a regular season, I'll give you an example: the Patriots Chiefs game from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to go on the air on Tuesday, you're not doing 5 hours on Patriots Chiefs on Sirius.
Right, I'm bouncing around the league, I'm doing college football,
You're not doing Patriots Chiefs, and you would miss that.
Do you miss FM? You're at Sirius now, and I'm a subscriber, I'm a Sirius subscriber for like 13 years. Are you comfortable at Sirius, or do you miss radio? It's two different worlds.
I'll tell you.
Or is it not?
Radio is still radio overall. I love the things that I can do here that you cannot do at a local radio
station.
Do you
like doing 2 hours of college football on a Tuesday?
I try not to do 2 hours
but
of it.
But you know what I mean. Do you like?
I know, of course I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean,
there are days, but there are days that you have to do a topic to generate some a spark with the audience that you don't have to do it, say, EEI or FAM.
Mm-hmm.
I can roll out the balls, and I can do Met rotation, Yankee lineup, you know, what's up with the Knicks, Red Sox, and Sandoval. I can do that from the King every day at EEI and at FAN and never have a problem. You cannot do that here. So you have to understand that coming in. And there are days where you miss that. There are also days you love not being in that situation. So it goes both ways.
For instance,
today I got a million things I can do. I can do the Serena thing with women's tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I got all the NCAA games. I got Adam LaRoche. I mean, today I got 1,000 things. You know, Ortiz yelling at the boss, yelling at people screaming about, you know, pimping home runs.
Right.
I mean, today you got a million things. If you're on New York radio today, I mean, you're probably going to break down a lot of the – well, you'll do some of that, but you're not doing a tennis. You're not doing Adam LaRoche. You're not doing Ortiz. You're doing, you know, Sabathia and the Yankees' fifth starter.
When is your deal up at Sirius?
Late this year.
Late this year?
Yep.
And do you think you'll still be there?
I would be surprised if I'm not.
Oh, so you're anticipating moving forward, sticking there, and doing your
I'm
thing.
Anticipating it. I mean, you know, I would be surprised. I would anticipate it. Nothing has been really discussed as of yet, and I don't want to speak for them because they have to obviously, you know, they have to want you back. So it goes both ways, and you know how it always works.
Mm-hmm.
The romance of the free agent is always a lot more significant than retaining the free agent. Just ask George Steinbrenner.
Right.
I mean, he spends a lot more money getting Reggie than he does keeping Reggie Jackson. I mean, it's the same thing in any walk of life. Getting the star is, you know, more juice for anybody than it is retaining that star. But I would be pretty darn surprised if you know, we don't figure something out. I think Sirius likes me, and I love Sirius. So I would think we would. That doesn't eliminate the idea that when Mike's deal is up, we can figure something out. I think that could be something separate. I wouldn't eliminate that as a possibility, but I would be surprised if I'm not here at Sirius.
When you say something separate, what does that mean?
Well, I don't know. Maybe something once a week. You know, once Mike's contract's up, some sort of combination of Mike and a man. I would not be shocked about that. But again, Mike would probably have to come to Sirius because it sounds like CBS is selling all their radio stations.
They are, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think they would have me run over there. So, I mean, it would have to be Mike on this turf more than any other turf. And I don't know how Mike would feel about that. I don't think Mike's actually thought too much about it, to be honest with you. But I would not rule it out. You never rule something like that out.
Would you agree that you guys together are better than each of you individually?
I think it's not so much what I think about that. It's what the fans think about that. And I do agree that I think the fans probably think we're better together than separately.
It's hard. Listen, before I was on the week with John and Jerry, I did a lot of weekends for a couple of years. So I remember you used to do a Saturday show on the weekends. That fan, I mean, there's no way around it. It's a different feel. It's a different. I know you incorporate the producer and Tori and all those guys.
It's a
hard thing to master, isn't it?
It's a different feel. I can see how the listener would enjoy it more with the two of us. I think both hosts are 50-50 on it. I think sometimes both hosts like us together. I like working with somebody. I think sometimes the hosts like being alone. I mean, again, there are times I can do tennis today if I wish.
Sure.
On Ray Moore, Mike would not be interested in that. You know, Mike can do Sabathia, fifth man in the rotation today, and I would not be interested in that.
Okay, Chris, this is good because this is interesting to me. So our the way we'll set it up is we'll talk a little bit during the day, and we'll get a rundown at night. We do a morning show, so it's different. We'll come in early and kind of say what's cooking. How would you and Mike over the years set up a show?
Never set it up that way.
So you had no idea. Mike had no idea what you were going to say at 104.
Well, we both knew what we were going to. We both knew what the topic.
I mean, generally,
were.
But my point is, let's say it's a day where there's two or three B stories and there isn't an A story. Who would grab the reins and say we're going this way?
When the music was playing at 103, I said, Mike, where you want me to go here? And he told me. Let's say it was, they said, let's do the Jets and Giants. They both lost, Mike. Which way you want me to go? Let's do the Jets. All right, we'll do the Jets. You got to be amenable, and I would let Mike make that call.
So he would call the shots on that.
And then we do the. There's a perfect example because it's not often where you'd have a major debate with it, but both Jets and Giants on a Sunday would be the way to. You know, the Yankees and the Mets, the regular season. There's very rarely a scenario where you'd go with both, where mm-hmm. both would be equal in standing on a particular day. The Knicks regular season over the Nets would always take precedent. I would say that question would arise with a giant jet loss or win on a Monday in the fall. And, you know, let's assume the drama of both games are relatively equal.
Equal, sure.
I would say, Mike, which way you want me to go here? Because you know you're going to get the both of them anyway. Sometimes you say, Doggy, up to you, whatever you want. Or sometimes you say, let's do the Jedi. Whatever he'd want to do, I'd do. I would take his cue. And then we'd save the other team for a little bit later on. I was very good at pacing the show, of saving those topics that we had in our hip pocket for later. Let's exhaust this one, then we'll go somewhere else. Let's exhaust that, and then we'll go somewhere else. I was good at spacing out the 5 hours properly.
So I
kind of directed it from that standpoint.
Right.
And I would take Mike's lead. If Mike wanted to go here, we do this, because I know. If Mike wants to play Backstreets in the middle of the set, I know I'm going to get to Thunder Road anyway. So
right,
what
right. So, but at 3:45, if you're dying on the vine, you might have something in your pocket and throw it out then.
Absolutely. No, I would probably not do it at 3:45.
Well, whatever. You know what
I would
mean.
Do it
right.
At the top of the hour.
Right. 4 o'clock or whatever.
But yes, absolutely.
How do you think of you listen to
Mike? And I'm going to have to do a little of that. I'm going to have to do a little about at that reunion
so
show.
So
well.
essentially, what you're going to do here at the reunion show, which is Thursday or no?
It's the 30th.
30th. So it's a week from Wednesday.
Right.
So you will do a Mike and the Mad Dog show. Is that what it's going to be?
I think it's essentially going to be a Mike and the Mad Dog show. I think it's going to be partly reminisce. I think it's going to be a mix. I think it's going to be reminisce. I think it's going to be a little up to date now. You got obviously the. You got the over-unders in baseball. You get to the Final Fours that
right.
weekend. So, I mean, you got two or three things that are, you know, the NBA, who do we like, who's going to – I mean, you got those topics. The Spurs used to be big fights with me and Mike about the Spurs. He mm-hmm. loved the Spurs. I never did. So there were big fights about that. And I would think we will do some of that in the course of the night. Now, remember, we have a ready-made audience. 99% of that audience is going to know exactly where we're coming from.
Of course.
Now, we can basically say this. We can argue about the sky for 3 hours, and they'd like it. So that is a big advantage. But I think we will do a little 50-50. Reminisce and obviously some stuff with the with current stuff.
Did it ever bother you that over the life of the show, and I understand, listen, you're self-deprecating, and that's, I think, maybe your best quality. But did it ever bother you that you sort of had to play the boob to Francesa's sort of know-it-all? Like, you would set him up for ratings questions. You would set him up for this. You would set him up for that. It seemed like Francesa kind of had to be the guy who was sort of the authority. Does that make sense?
I think it bothered me. I think it bothered me for a long time. I think it bothered me the first period of doing the show, as everybody kind of looked at me as a town clown,
right?
As a goofball, and Mike is the other way. I think it definitely bothered me for the first 5-6 years. I think after that, I was okay. I was fine with it. But I do think, you know, that I think that's going to bother you no matter what. But it didn't bother me in the last 5-6 years, not at all. Because I knew, I mean, after you spend 15 years there, you got to figure that they're going to know that you know something about sports.
Right.
And I know Mike always knew that. So, I mean, it did bother. Remember one thing about mm-hmm. me and Mike Kirk that you have to keep in mind and what we liked. We both knew how to challenge each other. And, you know, I could challenge Mike, and he knew that I had a good basis of thought. And Mike could challenge me if he so desired, and I would get into it too. So he knew that I could reach him on his level.
Well, there's definitely a
and there's not many people who can do that
right.
with Mike.
There's
and
definitely
he knew, and he knew I could. I mean, people can do it with certain sports. You
right.
know, Nance can do it with golf and college basketball.
Yeah.
You know, certain analysts that he loves could do it in those specifics. You know, Van Gundy could do it in the NBA, but I could do it with all the sports. And I think that was important because I was able to do that, and I think he enjoyed that.
But for all the sports talk, and we do some sports talk, we do other stuff too. You have to know. I mean, if I ask, you know, my brother-in-law, who's he's a firefighter in New York, massive Mike and the Mad Dog fan. I was, other friends of mine, Mike Manansky's on the station, huge fan. You must know that if you ask people what's your favorite Mike and the Mad Dog moment, it's not going to be sports.
No, no, something goofy.
Yeah, something dumb or some movie argument or something that makes no sense or something.
It's going to be something goofy. I agree. It's very rarely going to be sports, which is amazing. And that's why I like the show so much. And that's where Mike and I were good. Mike and I knew how to be goofballs when we wanted to be goofballs. Now, when we were fighting, we were not goofballs.
No, but it was always funny, like, you know, Francesa would do, you guys would do Oscar talk, and Francesa would act like he was, you know.
Funny.
Like,
funny.
Yeah, but, or like, this movie critic, and he would, Francesa would never admit that he didn't know something. And there was always something kind of funny about that.
Kirk, I'm with you 100%. I think I was able to bring out that element with
Mike. Definitely. No question.
And he's probably missed that over the years. But I think that I do. That's an excellent point you made. I do think if you ask the Mike and the Mad Dog fan their fondest memory of Mike and me, it's not gonna. It might be pink Cadillac with the Yankees winning a World Series in '96.
Right.
But for the most part, it might be away from sports. I think that's a good point.
Now,
very good point.
Now we've battled over the last year. You've come on, and God bless you for doing it. Because
about the deflate
case, guys won't call in anymore. You know, you're the only one of the two or three guys left that will come on and argue about it. Do you feel, as time has gone on, and maybe you've read more and more about it, do you feel like the NFL might have gone too far in this?
Here's what I would say. Four games, probably too far. But
you did say superb job by Goodell when they gave him four games initially.
I know. Well, I liked it at the time. I was probably pretty enthusiastic. here are the five things that I would say on Deflategate that I don't think any Patriot person could dispute.
Let me hear them.
The Patriots cheated once before, so why should they get the benefit of the doubt?
But that's not relevant to Deflategate, though. But go ahead.
But the organization did cheat.
Okay, go ahead.
We can't dispute that. They have a history of pushing the envelope.
Well, I know, but
I mean, you're telling me Brady didn't think that Deflategate was wrong when he was looking at film of walkthroughs?
Spygate, you mean?
Spygate.
Well, I don't. But you think he was looking at when he was what?
Well, when they showed you the didn't the coaching staff look at the Rams walkthrough?
Well, that was discredited. That report was discredited.
I don't know if Marshall Faulk.
Well, do you think he might have a dog in the fight potentially?
That if it wasn't helpful for the Patriots, why would they do it?
I'm not disputing that they did it. The walkthrough thing has never been proven. But go ahead.
But that's one.
Get to two.
Number two. Why did Brady destroy his cell phone?
That's a totally fair question. Now he will tell you because he's a celebrity and he wants to get
bullshit.
Rid of his phone. Well, but I'm telling you I'm giving you the Brady argument.
But let me
just say this. You're right. I think that's a fair question. But I'll say this. Wells told Brady that he did not need the cell phone. Didn't need it. Wells told him that. That's on the record. That's in the transcript. That's in the court document. Wells said to Brady, "We don't need your cell phone."
Okay, number two. Whatever his name is, Jimmy Stanley. What's his name?
Did you say Jimmy Stanley?
What is his name?
McNally.
Jim McNally.
Yeah.
Why did he
call himself the deflator? Again, good question. They're going to tell you this because he deflated the footballs.
That's the reason.
But the Patriots will tell you is he deflated it down to the lowest possible legal number, which again I think is a fair argument to have because it hasn't been discredited anywhere.
All right, that's number three. Number four, why did Brady call the other guy in the office there after he did that interview on EEI the Monday after the championship?
Not with us, yeah. Why did he call?
All of a sudden, what's the guy's name?
Jastrzemski.
Jastrzemski.
Yeah.
Why did all of a sudden Brady, who didn't speak to him for 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, via phone?
Well, he had talked to him in the previous 6 months,
text,
Doug. Doug, it was in January. He was with him the whole season. He had talked to him in the previous 6 months.
I don't think he picked up the phone and called.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I would say this. Let's just say that you were Brady. Let's just play this game. Let's say you're Brady, okay? You're on with me and John and Jerry, and you get hammered with these questions on Monday morning about Deflategate. Wouldn't your natural reaction be to call that guy and say, what the fuck is going on?
25, right after he's off the phone?
That wouldn't be your first
thing? If you're that concerned about it, yes. If it's not that big a deal to you, wait till you get to the stadium.
Why? You can call him on the way to the stadium. Why not? That's enough for you to convict those four things?
No, I got more. I'm just getting started.
Go ahead.
I got a lot more than that. Why were the footballers taken from the referee's office?
They were taken with Coleman knowledge, he walked right out of it. He walked right out of there with them.
No, but Coleman couldn't find a football for 15 minutes.
Yeah, McNally took them out to the field.
Why? He's not supposed to do that.
What are you talking about? He's done it before. There's been no...
Well, first of all,
would you agree that Coleman did not do a great job?
You know, if you ask the NFL, they didn't do anything wrong with it.
Really?
I was with him on Monday night.
I know. We heard you. We heard you. I heard you. God, you yucking up with Goodell.
Oh, I loved it.
Having the time of your life.
Why did he take the footballs into the bathroom?
Because he had to go, he had to urinate. Is that impossible?
So he took the football.
Let me ask you this. That's a good question. Let me counter it real quick. So Tom Brady is obsessed with this, right? Would you agree that Brady that McNally's not going to go rogue, right? That Brady would have to know about it, right?
Yes.
Your guess is that if it's Tom Brady, McNally's not going to go rogue. So McNally was in there for 90 seconds, just enough time to let the air out of the balls, but in no way to govern how much air he takes out of each ball. So Tom Brady is so obsessed with the amount of air that's taken out of each football, but he's okay with McNally just going in there and just sort of doing it bang, 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 and doing the sloppy job? Does that make sense?
Fair point, but he did. From what I was gathered, he was not supposed to take the footballs out of the officials'
office.
That is not
part of his job requirement. That's true, but he's done it.
But that day, he did take the footballs out of the office.
He's done it in the past, too, and other guys have done it in the league in the past as well.
Again, I know Walt Anderson from what I've heard, he did run around. Where the hell are the footballs? Where'd they go?
Well, here's
and the guy took the football.
Here's the problem is what the referee should have done in that situation then. If there was some chaos, he should have gone in there and said, hey, we're not using these footballs. Let's use 12 other footballs. We shouldn't use these footballs.
That's fair. If you want to say that Ward Anderson...
Totally screwed up. Completely screwed up. And here's the thing.
Let me ask you another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why would Roger Goodell want to suspend the face of his league for four games if there was nothing to it?
Well, you just told me there's not enough to suspend him for four games.
You can argue that all you want, one game.
But why would you suspend him?
But
to your argument is that he suspended them more than you think he deserves it.
I would have given him two games.
So by your argument, Goodell is more than comfortable to suspend him for 100% more than you would, but he's not comfortable to do it for four games.
You got to answer that question. Roger Goodell, Chris, you asked the question. I'll answer it.
So here's the answer to your question. I believe the Vannata story at the end, which is they think that Goodell covered up for Kraft in Spygate, which I think is totally possible, and they had to punish somebody. He couldn't nail Belichick because it wouldn't stick. He couldn't nail Kraft on this, although he wound up doing that because it wouldn't stick. So Brady made sense. He went after Brady, and I think you'd agree that appeased the other owners in the league. Goodell doesn't care about what the fans think. His job is to please the owners. The owners wanted the Patriots to get fucked on this. They had to find somebody.
It was
Brady.
Weren't the owners relatively satisfied that they got fined $1 million and lost the first and the third round pick?
No, absolutely not.
How do you know that? Did you talk to them?
Well, did I talk to each individual owner?
Yeah, did you talk to any owner?
Well, if you talked to – how many owners have you talked to during this process?
Well, I talked to about nine of them. Did you talk to any of these owners?
The other night you talked to nine owners.
Yeah, I all talked to them.
And what did they say?
They said that's ridiculous.
What's ridiculous?
They said that we wanted Tom Brady suspended for four games to get back at the Patriots.
So
that's not why we didn't want that.
So they're not happy with Goodell, the owners, about the punishment for Deflategate.
Which is it?
I mean, if it's not enough, they're not happy. But if it's too much, then they're not happy with Goodell.
Kirk, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why is New England? You brought it up. I'm past it. Why is New England so fascinated? You've won a Super Bowl since. Why he was heroic in the second half of the Denver game. Why you won the? Now you may not win the. You may not win the appeal, but you that's going to be 50-50. But you did win the original. It's up to that one judge there, Chin, because it's going to be 1-1, and he's going to
It sounds like everybody says they're going to lose 2-1. Who knows? The legal people have been wrong the whole time on
this. Yeah, exactly. I spoke to a judge, friend of mine, a lawyer, who said that the three judges, he wasn't sure. He thought it'd be 1-1. He thought Chin is a labor guy that he would rule for Brady. We'll have to wait and see.
So he's got Brady winning this.
He did. He had Brady winning, despite the fact that he looked bad with the
question. I'm going to answer your question on why we're obsessed with this, but first I want to get these nine. So you talked to nine owners.
Well, I was with them, wasn't I?
Right. No, but I'm interested in this.
How about at the Super Bowl? When I had four or five of them on.
Okay, and you talk to them off the record as well?
You don't think when they're sitting there for four or five minutes, I don't ask them, what do you think of the Vannata?
I'm sure, and I want to know, what do they think? Do they think the punishment for Brady was too stiff? Is that
they
the...
think that they think that they had? Well, here's what they would say.
Go ahead.
We're involved. Well, if you got, if you went deep into it, they want to get TV ratings. They would say to themselves, Chris, do you think we want Goodell to suspend the best player in the league, its star, for the first four games of a regular season, which includes a game against the Cowboys, and the first opening Thursday night game of the year?
But my,
you think we want the commissioner of the NFL
but my counter
to suspend our – we got Kraft. We don't like Kraft. We got him already. We nailed him for $1 million. And we and he lost a first-round pick and a third round, and a third
fourth,
pick.
Yeah.
And we made sure that Kraft did not appeal it because we all bombarded him at the owners' meetings and said, Pop, you got no support here. Do what you got to do. You got no support. Nobody's going to back you up. So Kraft took the sword, and that was the end of it. We didn't need Brady, too. We got Kraft.
So you buy your
Kraft's our compatriot, not the quarterback.
But here's my counter to that is then Roger Goodell works for the owners. So I'm supposed to believe then that Roger Goodell on his own went rogue and gave Tom Brady a four-game suspension, even though the rest of the owners in the league want him in for TV ratings.
Sure,
that is very hard. You understand why?
That's fair.
That's hard to believe.
And there might be a situation. You know, it's funny. How come nobody with the pay in New England complained when the general manager of the Browns was suspended a month?
Because the general manager in season during a football season is not the same as a quarterback missing four games.
But he got over text messages?
I agree. It's a joke. I agree. It's a joke.
But how come I didn't hear anybody? Nobody in New England talked about that.
Chris, when you're doing shows in New York, if this happened to Eli Manning or Derek Jeter during the season, you think local fans, parochial fans, would care what happened in Cleveland? You know the answer to that question.
But you get the point, though.
Yeah, but you get my point too.
This is not the how come when the Cowboys and the Redskins were
salary cap?
Lost all that money with the salary cap? I didn't hear anybody
because
from England complain about that.
Do you think that's the same as a quarterback missing four games and a team losing a first round pick
and a third round pick?
First and a fourth. What's a stiffer penalty?
You'd have to listen.
Oh, Chris,
Brady,
a GM being suspended in season
for
Tom Brady?
If the quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'd say the freaking salary cap.
What's a stiffer violation? A GM being suspended for a month in season or Tom Brady in a first-round pick? Not even close. That's the harshest penalty ever given. And Roger Goodell, by the way, compared it to the 1919 Black Sox.
Is that
a little strong, would you say?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How come I didn't hear anybody in New England say what a disgrace it was that Dick Berman was out at the Hamptons with Bob Kraft that Labor Day partying?
After the verdict?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good look for Berman. We said that on the air.
It's a bad look for Berman. People said that is a disgrace.
What is your hatred for the Patriots?
I had a major problem with that. Dick Berman wants to run around and party with, and the fact that he's got Brady in his fantasy football thing?
Is that true?
Yes.
Isn't this fantasy football team?
Yeah, well, it was that particular year.
It's a bad look. It's completely a bad look. But to answer, I'll let you go. But to wrap up with the Patriots stuff, the reason fans are so upset is there's a draft coming up, and there's a chance. And listen, you can miss as much as hit in the first round, but you'd agree Belichick's done a pretty damn good job picking late in the first round, which he's been doing for 15 years.
He knows how to put together a football
whether
team.
Whether it's Mayo, whether it's McCourty, whether it was Chandler Jones, whether it was Logan
Mankins.
I'd have to go back and look, but you're right.
He's been great.
Put it this way. Let's say it's 6 out of 10 have been hits. That guy now, whether it's Devin McCourty or Logan Mankins or Vince Wilfork, these late first-round picks, that guy's gone.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If Bob Kraft is so innocent, if Bob Kraft and the Patriot organization and his quarterback are so innocent, why did Bob Kraft take the penalty?
You're stealing exactly what I said today, which is they're at the owners' meetings this week. They're down in Boca Raton. Kraft should find the biggest microphone out there, stand up, and say, "Listen, we've been screwed.
Why won't Bob Kraft do that?
Because I think that Kraft has decided it's more important to him. And this is a terrible look for Kraft. And I agree with you. It's more important for Kraft to be friends with Arthur Blank and Mara and these owners than to appease the fan base of the Patriots. He's made the decision.
Or his team.
Yes. There's a line of sand.
Doesn't he call Brady his son?
Yeah, he kisses him on the cheek.
Let me get this straight. So he calls Brady his son, yet he willingly did not appeal, did not fight it.
I'm with you.
Went meekly into the night last year and said, "We will accept the $1 million fine and the loss of a first or a third round pick," when his son, in his eyes, was deemed guilty, is innocent of this crime. Kraft, who's told gone on and on with he's my son, how much I love this man, everything else, yet he accepted the punishment.
I'm with you.
If that was my son, and I knew, I don't care if John Mara. I don't give a crap about John Mara. If that is my son, and I know that he was wronged, and he got PR-wise, got, and I'm the owner of the team, and he got destroyed PR-wise outside of New England, which he has, there is not a chance that I'm going to accept that. Here's, why did Bob Kraft accept it?
Here's why. I think you get your timeline a little bit wrong, but by the way, I agree with you overall. I think Kraft has been terrible on this, but I'll say this. When he dropped the appeal, decided not to appeal, Goodell, Brady was still appealing, so Goodell upheld the four games. Kraft said subsequently, he told the Boston Herald, he said in a later press conference, he thought that by giving in and accepting the punishment from the league, that Goodell would be
right. That's a bunch of garbage.
I think it's total bullshit.
He should have asked Goodell at the time.
Now, do you want...
That's just him protecting his rear end. He knew he got grief for it.
I agree.
So
that,
he came up and said, I don't want to listen to Kraft.
I agree. That reeks of total bullshit. I agree with you. Now, would you, if you're Kraft, do you go Al Davis? Do you sue the league?
Hey, again, that's his son.
I would, because that's his son.
If that's my son, and he said it, that is my son. If that is my son, who I think is being wrongly crucified, I don't care about Arthur Blank. I don't care about John Mara. I don't give a crap.
My point is, you and I have been having this fight for a year. We'll probably do it at the Super Bowl next year. We're fighting over, I don't think there's any definitive proof. You disagree. You think a nickname, and you think... the fact that Berman and
again, here's the key word: general awareness.
I think Brady,
as Ted Wells said in his report, was generally aware.
Do you think Wells did a good job?
I think Wells. Here's what I do think with Wells. I think Wells and everybody I've talked to has agreed.
All your owner
he
buddies,
is a top flight, one of the all-time greats in criminal law.
Okay, and
did you know that?
What the owners?
For a quarter of a century.
What the owners of your owner buddies that you talk to said he's a good lawyer.
No, lawyers.
I'm sure he's considered. I'm sure he's considered a top.
Prosecutors. I mean, just a regular fan who calls up and said, "Chris, I'm a great defense attorney. Let me tell you something right now.
Right.
This guy is top notch."
So a caller told you this?
Well, right. People in the last
talk
few
show
years,
callers.
When I've Kirk, people in the last. Are you disputing the fact that Ted Wells isn't good at what he does?
I don't think he did a great job with this. I know he has a good reputation. I would say he's.
Have
a,
you looked into that?
Yes,
you looked,
of course
have you
I
looked
have.
Into his reputation?
Yes, he's got a great reputation.
What is his reputation? What is his reputation in the law firm?
His reputation within the league, the incognito thing, he butchered, and this he butchered. He's an NFL puppet. I think you'd agree with that.
But I don't. But he was getting paid no matter what he came up with, Brady. He was getting paid. He didn't get his money. Was not he was not
Chris,
getting
he,
paid.
Chris, he went in with a tie, with a finish in his mind. He was
That's
going.
Possible.
He was
you'd going. Have to ask him that.
The
you'd
NFL was directing
to,
him
you'd
to
have
find.
To ask him that.
I would love
to,
sure.
You'd have to ask him.
I think he'll be on next week on the podcast, Chris. If I have a chance to ask him,
Kirk, you have to admit one thing.
And I'll ask Goodell next time he calls
in
too.
He has an unassailable as a professional. He has an unassailable as a professional. Forget the NFL. As a criminal prosecutor. Who's been in courts for a quarter of a century? He has an unassailable reputation. Can't argue it.
Fine, but I mean you can't.
So, sorry, he's got an unassailable reputation that he is going to risk for being
How do you do with incognito?
I don't want to get into incognito.
Blow it.
We're talking about Brady.
But you said it's unassailable. We're talking about Brady.
I'm talking about outside of the NFL.
Yeah, but it's inside the NFL. I don't care what his record is outside of the NFL.
Okay,
inside
so in
the
other
NFL,
words, then, this is a, this
inside
is a guy
the
who
NFL,
is a,
it's not unassailable. He fucked up the incognito thing.
Depends who you believe.
Well, that's the crux of the argument, isn't it?
It depends who you believe.
All right, let's wrap. Let's finish up with what really matters.
It's amazing. You guys, you love this Deflategate.
It's a great story. You know that. It's a juicy story. We've been away from it lately, but let's wrap up.
And you know who gets all the blame here all the time? That Players Association, who gave Goodell all
his
power.
They rolled over and gave Goodell everything.
And that's what this is going to be determined with these judges.
And this other
did the CBA with this appeal right. Appellate court? Did the CBA? Do they have a right? Does Brady have the CBA who represents Brady gave Goodell the ability to judge, be it arbiter? Mm-hmm. Did Goodell
overreach his powers? Yeah,
correct. That's the argument.
Well, but here's the other thing: as you read that Wall Street Journal story last week, this idea that the players are going to get together and strip Goodell of powers, that'll never happen in the NFL ever. They'll roll over again the next time they do this. This is what they do. It's just what they do. All right, I'll let you go.
I love you.
Thanks, doggy. See you.
Okay. here.
All right, thanks again for listening to Enough About Me, another great episode with Mad Dog Russo. If you want to hear more of these episodes, the ones in the past, there'll be some more in the future. You go to WEEI.com, you go to the mobile app, you go to Stitcher, you go to iTunes. And when you go to iTunes, write a review. That helps us. Give us that big five-star review we need. It's going to help us get back to number one in sports and recreation. Do it! Give us the best review possible for Enough About Me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.